You know, you're funny.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
You know, I just want to say a few things here.
Learn to live alongside cringe.
Put simply,
just limit it to what we have seen.
What are you?
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Hey, I'm 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. And hope you're all having a good drive to work, if in fact that is what you're doing. And here was mine.
I had to
montage that one. That's your 7 a.m. Montage. You'll have to go back and listen to the award-winning 6 a.m. hour there by texting app to 800-465-8770. And you can see why that's relevant on this date, I should say. Yeah, and you know what's funny is in that driveway ring doorbell thing, producer Greg, with weather, traffic, and sports on the 10s.
We're going to make it on the 9s this hour.
When the cat begins its attack in that driveway ring doorbell thing where the guy peels the bobcat off his wife, it makes that sound. Well, I can tell you this, you won't be hearing that noise in McKenna this morning or between Roy and McKenna. So there's that.
The other day, my wife and I were walking through downtown Seattle. We were actually on Capitol Hill because my daughter requested to go to one of those cat cafes. I don't know if you've ever heard of those.
Yes, amongst things to mock.
13-year-old girls love them, Brian. So we indulged her fantasy. We went to the cat cafe, enjoyed it. But we were walking around and we saw a pit bull. Someone was walking a pit bull on a leash. And
do
I
you like the Hispanic rap?
What?
Huh?
I give my wife the pro tip. You know, if an animal ever attacks, find the nearest vehicle and jump on the hood. Isn't that the pro move?
That's only if you're a goat, I believe.
A goat?
Yeah, because they will jump on your car or your Humvee.
But animals lack the opposable thumbs, and they can't climb up there after you, and it's all slippery.
They say they lack the opposable thumbs, but they also say that birds are real.
That's true.
So anyway, again, here's your traffic report for the 507 highway.
That's the bumper to bumper noise.
Yeah, there you go. And so I didn't know this. I was this morning days old when I found out the Kraken only have two more games in this season, that they suck so bad. And by the way, if you know anything about the NHL, then you know you have to try not to make the playoffs. I mean, you really got to come together as a team and be as one, put your heads together and be committed to not making the playoffs in the NHL. I mean, here's a league where the playoffs are longer than the regular season. Like, they're still playing the playoffs from last year. But anyway, the Kraken are not going anywhere.
I was at the game last night.
Were you? Well, why?
It was a goal extravaganza, 5-0. They destroyed the Arizona Coyotes. There was lots of action ice.
Then why didn't you just buy lottery tickets? There's a greater chance of winning than the Kraken.
Besides paying an obscene amount for parking,
yeah,
it was a beautiful night. Our pro move is we park right across the street from Dick's, and we get some burgers and fries before we go into the stadium and save about
$100.
That's
a pretty strong...
Right? Okay, but
But if it's 10 deep, it's worse than 45th.
So we took the I-90 bridge, which you know the name of.
The Lacey V. Murrow floating
there
bridge.
There you go. We took that into downtown.
Younger brother of Edward R. Murrow.
Waze did not have us go Mercer Street. It had us go Olive Way and kind of wrap around the stadium and go the back way. So... it diverted us by the Paramount Theater and Westlake, and I haven't been there in a long time, and this is right by where the Lululemon is closing down at Pacific Place, and my wife, who's a big shopper, was pointing out, oh my goodness, all these vacant buildings and vacant storefronts.
Soon Lululemon will be out.
My goodness, that is not a thriving area anymore.
Pro tip, by the way, for you guys that are getting engaged, whatever the rule is about your engagement ring or the wedding ring should be blank number of paychecks. The Fox is in downtown. If you care to brave it, they're having a fire sale. Like, they're not moving jewelry. They're closing, they're gone, but what's in there is has been slashed. Luckily, I have zero need to buy jewelry for anyone, and I don't wear it.
But it's just very depressing because I know Bruce Harrell has had a revitalization plan for Seattle, but it hasn't reached Westlake.
No, I know. Because the entire point of Seattle is you don't live there. You go down there with your money, and you spend the monies on the stuffs, and then you take the stuffs home, and they keep your monies.
A highlight of our commute was we were at a stoplight and there was right next to us this homeless guy that was scratching himself in areas that are indescribable on radio. And I was
that deodorant is supposed to cover.
And we want to keep moving. Turn green. And eventually it did.
So you just heard that at the top of the hour that the White House released a statement saying they delight in the increased inflation or something. No, I can't believe that. I'll look it up on the Twitter machine. But did Biden really say that inflation is down 60%? What the hell is he talking about? What where did he get the BA double hockey sticks to say that? Keeping it to the hockey tip on that one. Well, so yesterday, a whole bunch of things that we got to in the first hour, the Rand Paul report coming out, scratching at the COVID scab, which I'm scratched. I'm fascinated by the accusations that he has. Just that I can read the room, no one else is. And the Boeing whistleblower who, hey, come on, Boeing corporate hit team, do a better job. Now you got a guy who only worked there 10 years, and he says that the 787s and the 777s have been badly put together. They've been joined badly at Everett and in South Carolina. And you got to be a little more proactive on this one. The new Boeing whistleblower led to serious structural flaws on 787 and 777 jets. And Calhoun is going to be called before the Senate because, and when you're this week's whipping boy, and why is this happening? Because they measure the minutes on local and national TV, and Boeing plane pops a tire. Something you're not, the design of the aircraft or manufacturer of the aircraft is not even responsible for. That is leading the news. People don't turn that off because we all fly Boeing. If you want to go anywhere, are you going to really go to the trouble of clicking type of aircraft? Because many people do, and many airlines on their booking sites are now highlighting that button. And they're finding what? That people are canceling Alaska SeaTac to Burbank because they fly an evil 737 that actually reaches in, tries to kill you. And they're finding things like Puddle Jumper Airlines that are flying Bombardier Challenge jets, whatever they're called. And they're actually puddle jumping stopping at every town, landing in Portland, landing in Sacramento, finally getting to John Wayne or Burbank. They're taking 5 hours to fly in a plane that is not on TV so that they can avoid the plane that's probably on TV and then find out that now you can add an 8 and a 7 and in between your 7s. So the 787, which I've had delightful times on 787. It does freak me out that there's no metal in the wings, and that when it is at altitude, the wings are so bent that the wingtips are not visible out the window. So it's,
and they make this noise.
Yeah, so it is freaky, but I mean you're seeing why this kind of stuff happens, and that there's a nightmare scenario, and it's not. You know what it is? It is an accident. It's an accident involving a Boeing aircraft. Because if you thought the stock price couldn't get lower than right now, and Boeing has a bunch of orders in the batting circle, you know, this is not irretrievable. But I think that they're not seeing the connection between them making the planes and then the door plug flying off over Portland and them getting the blame. Because no one is saying an Alaska Airlines door plug flew out. Good thing that didn't happen over Livermore, you know, or whatever. No, they're not saying that. They're saying a Boeing aircraft was involved in a mid-flight mishap. And, you know, no one has lost their lives since those people lost their lives in the two 737s in Indonesia and Ethiopia. But you did make those planes and you put that MCAS system in there. So anyway, it's real hard to see a brand do this to itself. And I forgot, but we were checking the texting last hour. Were there any you curated that deserve any of our attention? Or should we just get right to the damn know-it-all?
We'll do the texting at 8:30.
All righty. I want it all. The damn know-it-all. And I want it
now. Know-it-all. First thing.
First thing, there's a whole bunch of things today. But here's the thing. The ongoing administration attack on Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't make me an anti-Semite, you understand? But they're attacking Netanyahu and making him a war criminal. Why? Well, because people in Michigan who are Arab are not being treated like adults and can't separate Hamas from the Palestinian civilians. And so rather than doing that, the administration is saying, oh, we know what we'll do. We'll be demanding aid and we'll go on Univision to talk to the Hispanic Jews and tell them that this is unacceptable what Netanyahu did. So here's Univision anchor sitting down with Biden talking about how terrible it is to drone strike the World Central Kitchen trucks or something.
He has I will tell you is I think what he's doing.
He has a bizarre take here, and I think you'll hear it.
What I will tell you is I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous that those three vehicles were hit by drones and taken out on a highway where it wasn't like it was along the shore.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't like there was.
I was unaware of that law of war that it's okay to not positively ID that convoyed three Toyota pickup convoy. But anyway, it's just maybe it's a me thing.
A convoy moving here, et cetera.
It was a convoy. That's the thing. Moving in. And I just want to replay that.
It wasn't like it was along the shore. It wasn't like there was a convoy moving here, et cetera. So what I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food.
All right, so there's a shot. Wait till the chaser here in just a second. But part of the deal is that three of the seven dead were actually security people, but they were security people like me to you security. They were not security of our movement around nighttime underneath an Israeli drone umbrella. None of the three, including a British SBS Special Boat Service chap, an American and another Brit, none of them were specialists in liaison or targeting. Did any of them go to an IDF commander and say, we're going to move in a three-vehicle convoy, those white helixes there? And I don't think so. And I think that Netanyahu is probably talking to a White House that doesn't understand what's about to happen. That World Central Kitchen was liaising with Hamas because they were bribing him. And they were giving him rides because that's how they got around. And this was at night. That's part of the reason they traveled at night, not the daytime. And that they have video of the Israelis have video of this. And so you keep doing this crap and that video is going to get out. Will anyone in the American media understand it? No. But in the White House aides right now are busy interfighting between should we pay attention to the voters that are telling us the economy sucks or the ones that care about abortion and bridges? And there's a civil war in the White House on that one. So one battlefield in the anti-Israel civil war. This is thing two, by the way.
Second thing.
Senator Tom Cotton, a former infantry officer, Iraq veteran, talking with the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, about the aid and the whole thing. And do you even know the history of this stuff? Here's Cotton.
You talk a lot with Senator Reid about Israel's responsibility to provide aid in Gaza. Why does Israel have a responsibility to provide aid to Gaza? Israel was the victim of an unprovoked vicious attack on October 7th. Why should they provide aid to the aggressor nation? Or aggressor, Gaza's not a nation, to the aggressors on October 7th? We didn't provide aid to Germany and Japan during World War II.
What we
touche.
We did provide aid to and assistance to many of the countries that we've operated in recently.
But not in World War II. If you had been in George Marshall's or Dwight Eisenhower's position in World War II, would you have wanted to provide aid to Germany?
I really do believe, Senator, that if they want to create a lasting effect and in terms of stability, then I think that something needs to be done to account to help the Palestinian people.
I get that, but they're in the middle of the war. Like, we believe that, too, after World War II. That's why we had the Marshall Plan. That's why we rebuilt Japan. But that was after the war was won, not in the middle of it.
Ouch, good point, Tom. The British had a very, in the world of rhetoric, the British phrase for what they were doing by late 1944 and 45 was de-house. And we were, too. We just weren't as creative with our language. Sure, we rebuilt Europe, but you got to do the rebuilding after you're done doing the destructing. And Israel is not saying that out loud, but and his little counterinsurgency thing, our past 20 years of being distracted by counterinsurgency have left us and left the Marine Corps unable to face on a battlefield a near-peer foe like China invading Taiwan or China trying to, whatever, New Guinea, Spokane. You know, whatever, because our focus on counterinsurgency has allowed us to have our actual conventional war, the U.S. military that won the Cold War in Western Europe, none of those guys exist anymore. They're all retired. They're all old tank guys. The Marine Corps got rid of their tanks. That's how counterinsurgency they were to focus on China. So that's thing two. Thing three.
Third thing.
So who's the funniest person? And I mean intentionally funny. The question for Kamala Harris was, who's the funniest person in the cabinet? And over under Mayorkas, what do you say? So that's my bar, over or under Mayorkas. And that's unintentionally funny. He's the most unintentionally funny guy.
I'll go with the under.
You're going under Mayorkas? So you're saying Javier Baccaria?
Got to be Baccaria.
Okay, let's see what the vice president says about who's the funniest person in the president's cabinet.
I mean, the person that I definitely have the most fun with is the president.
Oh, wait, I didn't hit pause in time. So absolutely, what a shocker.
Definitely have the most fun with is the president. He's fantastic. He is...
Baccaria.
He can be very serious, obviously, but he's also got an incredible sense of humor.
And she is a specialist at the money brown nose. I mean, and that's the thing. When you tell someone who thinks they're funny that they're funny, you're just endorsing and enabling that unfunny person. But they never deny you. They never say, no, it's not me. It's Mayorkas. That's why I appointed him.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
I've got hairy legs. That's the one thing we got to pull out of that when because the kids like to rub his legs. And so I don't think he's ever told. That's the thing. Those montages of Reagan just telling jokes.
I tell you.
And they're funny. They're funny jokes, not misidentifying a guy in a wheelchair.
Well, he was always making fun of Soviet leadership.
I know. It was great. And those were great jokes. And he got to be able to deliver them. That's the thing. Ask me, Greg, what's the number one secret to comedy?
What is the number one secret?
Timing.
Oh, okay.
See what I did there.
I
so,
get it.
So, anyway, she says her bosses, and if you don't know this, by the way, when she was city attorney in San Francisco, she was having an affair with the Speaker of the Assembly of California, who appointed people to the various idiotic boards like higher education or clean air resources, because she was only making a city salary while they were having their decade-long affair. He appointed her to two or three state of California boards that each paid $90,000 a year for one meeting a month.
That's not right.
He trebled her salary, and all she had to do was just... You just lie there, or whatever. The easiest gig ever on that one.
Just limited to what we have seen.
True story. And we know that because he wrote a column about it in the San Francisco Chronicle. It just gets better. All right, thing four.
Fourth thing.
Am I right about it? Yeah, okay. Thing four, there's a law coming up in the fall that kids should burn off energy out there on the playground.
Do you know what time it is right now?
No, I don't. Molly Shen of Channel 4.
11:31. So
recess is?
In 4 minutes.
Finally, it's time to line up, high five.
Have a good recess. Have a good recess.
And let loose. It's no surprise that kids love recess.
If there was no recess ever, that would be horrible for me.
But
that's a hot take right there. But listen to this. There's a real sharp kid coming up. I'll repeat this truth.
If there was no recess ever, that would be horrible for me.
But doctors and state lawmakers apparently love it, too, for the physical and mental health benefits.
If I didn't have recess, I'd be sad because I'd just be sitting in the class, like, doing math, reading, and, like, writing all day. And that's, like, boring if I don't get any breaks.
I would feel tortured.
What do you mean? Why tortured?
Because if I have no breaks, then I'll be sitting in class, hyperactive, with
That word didn't come to him naturally. That's self-harm ideation on that part. Send that kid to the school nurse who can't give him any medicine. But finally this fall, this becomes a state law. And just by way of explanation, in Finland, it's a mandatory thing. Every from middle school on down, school doesn't start until after you've been playing for 2 hours on the field. Then you come in and it's out of you. Your sass talk with your friends, your bad mouth in America, the whole thing, it's all out of you, and you can concentrate. And so it was funny because when we set up our ersatz COVID school with my daughter's friends from her elementary school, the two moms that set it up were Israelis, and their husbands were at test pilot school, and so at Edwards Air Force Base. And so they set up this school that involved an hour of soccer and then riding our stupid horse, Canela, and being tired. And then going into our little mini classroom, sweaty, drink water, and concentrate on the electronic whiteboard. And it just made so much sense. Clearly, the kids were learning more at noon with this fake school run by a school teacher and a doctor than they were in American elementary school. Certainly during the COVID lockdown, turn on your Zoom and all that. I mean, this is just common sense. That
I'm reminded of a quote from Mr. Rogers, who once said, "The work of a child is play. It's where socialization happens. They learn boundaries. They get physical exercise." I'm a huge proponent of not punishing kids by taking away recess. I know that's something teachers have done for a long time, especially to rambunctious young boys.
You should order them to double recess.
Exactly right. No, they need recess. They absolutely do. And it relates directly to how they learn in the classroom. They got to get out the wiggle. Especially at those ages 5, 6, 7, 8 and young boys that I've seen, there's other ways to punish kids if they're being, you know, unruly in class. Don't take away the recess.
My favorite Dr. Fred Rogers game was real simple.
It's a bobcat, attack my wife!
That was the best game ever.
But
he would release a live bobcat into the studio and we would go running around with pool noodles and stuff. But he was a great man. He will be missed. All right, back in a second. More on the Tom Cotton, Lloyd Austin thing. There's more stuff you should hear. The inflation is up, White House. So there's that. And the sentencing, the Crumblies yesterday to 15 years for what their nutbag 15-year-old emo son is going to spend life without parole for. But what about that assistant principal at that one school where the 6-year-old shot a teacher? Is there going to be accountability there? We'll get the answer in just a minute. Again, look up behind you.
The bobcat! I know.
It's 4 years old. I get it. I know. It's just more relevant this morning than ever before. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.
Oh my, this is a noisy world.
770 KTTH. Inflation up 3.5% in 1 month. So, it's not down 60%. Anyway.
Do you want a CNBC guy yelling at us with some percentage?
I want the Prime Minister of Japan yelling at me. Oh, now it's the translator. I didn't know Kamala spoke Japanese, but evidently she does. So anyway, the Prime Minister, current guy, Yuko, is there at the White House today. What the president has on deck for entertainment tonight is American barbecue and then a showing of Oppenheimer.
Is that for real?
No. Okay. No, but the movie did finally open in Japan, where it's doing really well. It's a good movie.
Mr. President, Dr. Biden, distinguished...
He wants to congratulate the Dodgers on their signing of Shohei Ohtani to the largest contract ever.
Thank you so much.
And the right-hander, Yamamoto, no relation to the Pearl Harbor mastermind. So anyway, I just have a weird feeling that I think Biden's already spoken, that he said something amazingly inappropriate like that. Like, yeah, we're not a joke. We're gonna have Oppenheimer, the IMAX cut.
This event better not bomb.
Not funny.
Too soon?
Yeah, 80 years too soon. But that's not until next year. So it's 79 years, not yet too soon. But and that's what people said about Oppenheimer as well. But our military relationship with the Japanese is getting even tighter, primarily because they finally changed their constitution. Because they can use, in their constitution, as dictated by General MacArthur, the emperor is not a god. Women can vote. Number three, we pledge never to use military force in offensive combat. So that's why the Japanese military, the guys on the ground, such as you would call the army, are called the Japanese Ground Self-Defense Force. And they're constitutionally barred from yelling banzai anymore, but I think that'd be rather terrifying. But then the Air Force, in the American Air Force, is called the Air Force because it's a force in the air. The Japanese analog are the Air Self-Defense Forces. So it says right on there, JASDF. So if you're wondering, are they going to attack me? Well, what are you doing? It's a self-defense force. And then the Navy is called not the Imperial Navy anymore, but the Maritime Self-Defense Force. But they should just, I'm not going to be offended if they just go back to Navy. I mean, I'm just saying there is a term for that. And so he's there and there was do we want to get into it? Because I have tangents galore on this one. But I was trying to make the case to someone that Harry Truman, as seen here, the most moral thing anyone, and I mean, no one can point to me any greater, more moral decision ever made than the use of the atomic bombs to shorten the war, period. Period. Final. I don't think I've ever seen a more moral use of force, because it ended a war that was not going to end without, if we had not used the atomic bombs that we had. People would spend the next 50 years spitting at Harry Truman's name because he was about to lose 1 million Americans and kill 10 million Japanese if we had invaded conventionally. So. There's that. I'm guessing Biden's not going to lean over and say that to him, to Prime Minister Yuko.
I do have a tangential pet peeve that I would like to put out on the air right now, and that is I was very annoyed when Barack Obama went to Hiroshima and did that big apology tour.
Yeah, he didn't get it.
In light of the anniversary of dropping the atom bomb. It also frustrates me that some of the best filmmakers in the world, like a.k.a. Christopher Nolan, make movies about
the Batman,
Oppenheimer, and how a flippant American leadership was and their decision to drop the bomb. You know, they never make movies about like what happened in Manchuria or Nanking, like what the Japanese did person to person, mercilessly slaughtering men, women, and children, raping women en masse. It's much easier to set your video camera on American actors and talk about how uniquely guilty America is in our historical record. Furthermore, there's a new movie coming out called Civil War that looks like modern America Civil War fantasy porn, and how terrible it would be if we, you know, turned our guns on each other. You know what? There are real atrocities going on in the world right now. Most of them are not happening in America. They're happening in places like Ukraine. They're happening in Israel on October 7th, 2023. And I just don't understand why we always have to put this big magnifying glass on how bad America is and how bad our historical record. I guess it's just easy to do.
Yeah,
for whatever reason.
The United States has nothing to apologize for. And it's funny because one of the great professors, as I went to Wazoo, was a history professor named Yukio. Anyway, he was an academic in Japan. When he floated that theory, that he said, look, there's no good outcome if America doesn't use the A-bomb and we not surrender and reform. They lose a million guys, just like proportionally 10,000 per square mile in Okinawa writ large. They lose a million guys. We lost 2 million on Okinawa, so now we lose 10 million on the two main islands of Japan. And then, and even then, the Russians come in and split us into North Japan, the People's Democratic Republic of Japan, and the Americans are in the Republic of Japan down south. And so he was quietly told to find other continents to go be an academic on. Anyway, so 3.5%, where do you get that number? Well, you know, math, and that's what our inflation is. The president is, I don't know where he said, he's just going on here 1 hour ago about there's a new way to account for internet broadband or something. I don't get it.
For eliminating junk fees on internet bills. The FCC is requiring...
This is 1 hour ago. It's not about inflation. But anyway, 3.5% is your number. On that one, the CPI for March, and that's 1 month, 3.5% from a year ago in March. So that's 0.4 over 12 months and stuff. And I'm outraged by gassing up this morning. Like I put a Bobcat in my gas tank, but that would have been more fun, I think, than what I paid. So I stopped the gas at $120 and said, oh, that'll do it. That'll do, pig. that'll do. All right. So more on how, and the other thing is you have less money. So no matter if you haven't gotten a raise, and even if you have got a raise, it's got to beat that. But more on this. It's just real depressing and stuff. AM 770 KTTH. Suratani, AM770 KTTH. Anyone have Dr. Suratani for any history classes? He was a genius. Great guy. So anyway, there you go. And that's because I don't have dementia. Because where's my dementia article? What middle-aged people can do now to help prevent dementia later? So there's that. The most consequential technology in America. What's the most popular social app and music service? This is not what I wouldn't call it that. But over under Grindr, Greg. What I don't think we can measure that. So what's the most popular social app and music service? YouTube.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I guess, except I go to it for Bobcat Attacks Man in Driveway. Not for Out of Touch by the Rolling Stones. But then again, when I play bumpers off this computer, I have a playlist called Bumpers, which we never go to enough, frankly. It's really good. So anyway, YouTube is the most influential. I think these creators, it screws you. I think just me, but as a go-to, for like seeing an idea for dinner or a better way to prepare pork belly or whatever, YouTube is the way to go. I mean, there's a couple channels. The one that where he gets it is a TV guy, Gordon Ramsay, who before that apparently was a food guy. He can yell at you equally through the YouTube or the TV. he gets it. He gets. He just says, "What's the best way to produce perfect rice?" Then he goes, "Jasmine rice. Do this." And in a minute and a half, he improved boiling rice in my life by 3,000%. And there's food channels that are on regular, TV, but you can go on the YouTube and you can say better pork belly or whatever, and it just. You know, they get my eyeballs. That's all they're doing. More and more people on your various podcasting and stuff. That's something that you got to do. Text app 800-465-8770. And you can get the award-winning Brian Suit Show podcast, the award-winning Jason Rantz Show, the award-winning 10th Break from the Brian Suit Show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And here's the last gasp from Twitter. This is a friend of mine, Noah Pollack from Free Beacon, stuff. Real smart guy, because the Biden administration is taking Hamas's side and taking Russia's side. The Bloomberg headline yesterday, U.S. slams strikes on Russian oil refineries as risk to oil markets. Okay, we're boycotting their oil. And we're backing, with a lot of money, the guys that are finally making inroads and are thinking a little more logistically than the Russians and hitting Russian oil refineries. So Noah Pollack says, the Biden doctrine is basically no U.S. allies shall win a war. Indeed, the United States will now fund both sides of the conflicts out of this commitment to strategic ambivalence. White House political operatives with no relevant experience or record of success will use American power to micromanage the military tactics of our allies, including target selection and timing of maneuvers to ensure they comply with the domestic political interests of the Democratic Party. I've been tracking that. The foremost consideration in war is the electoral prospects of Democrats. If an ally's fight for survival risks complicating Democrat campaigns, then it is inherently illegitimate, probably a war crime and genocide, and there must be an immediate humanitarian ceasefire to protest incumbent Democrats during the election year. And again, this is just because Democratic Muslims wrote uncommitted in the primary ballot, and they're terrified of a unofficial survey they just did with a bunch of undecided voters who voted for Biden in 2020. The White House even allowed this to go on MSNBC this morning, which is what this is, by the way, that they can call the executive producer of MSNBC or Rashida Jones, and they can say, let's go ahead and not put those undecided people saying Biden is a disaster to the economy. Let's not put that on in the morning before a 3.5% annual inflation rate is announced.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Please raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand.
They all raise their hand.
That is everybody.
You get the idea there. Now, because he saw 200,000 people in Michigan raise their hand, that Israel's bad, Hamas are good, Israel's committing a genocide. What Hamas did was a field trip out to various kibbutz to see if their knives were sharp enough. Instead of just talking to those people like adults and saying, you are supporting a murderous safari into Israel, how can you back them? How can you deny that Israel has a right to wipe out the people that did that? Not the civilians, but the people that are trying to wipe out are hiding behind the civilians, but they can't do that. And so instead you get Biden on Univision thinking for some reason that Hispanics are going to hear about this, or Hispanic Jews apparently are in the lurch or on the bubble on this. And so he says,
what I will tell you is I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous that those three vehicles were hit by drones and taken out.
See, he's all genocide-y and all that. And so he's calling for a ceasefire so Hamas can lick its wounds.
Allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country.
So anyway, good job, Noah. You nailed it on that one. So yesterday, and every organ of the organism has to parrot this, including Lloyd Austin, in front of the Senate Armed Services Committee, as questioned by Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas.
You talked a lot with Senator Reid about Israel's response. I want to address what the protesters raised earlier. Is Israel committing genocide in Gaza?
And by the way, did everybody see that? That a mob of trespassers invaded the Capitol and stopped the Senate from working by blocking off the cafeteria, hitting them where it hurts the most. So has anyone called them democratic or undemocratic or a riot or whatever? They were blocking you from your legal ability to go into the Capitol cafeteria. Okay, I know it's not exactly registering or confirming the presidential electoral votes, but that's ceremonial too. Eating is for real.
Senator Cotton, we don't have any evidence of genocide being created.
So that's a no. Israel's not committing genocide in Gaza.
We don't have evidence of that, to
Thank
my
you.
Knowledge.
Because there is none.
Yeah.
Better than Director Burns and Director Haynes did last month at the Intelligence Committee when they dodged that question. You stand accused by those protesters of greenlighting genocide. Would you like to respond to that accusation?
What I would say, Senator Cotton, from the very beginning is that we committed to help assist Israel in defending its territory and its people by providing security assistance.
And so this is totally on brand. But even at least Austin still has a shred of integrity, and can say that no matter how well it rhymes with Biden, you can't hide, you're committing genocide. It's just not factually true. You may as well say, rhyme something with polar bear and Gaza. You know, I don't know. And here's how the future looks, by the way. Eid al-Fitr is the eve of the last day of Ramadan is coming up. Okay, so all of the requisite air forces, the U.S., the RAF, the Emirates, Saudis, Kuwaitis, Jordanians, everyone who drops giant one-ton pallets of food on Gaza is going to be doing a mass drop. Now, the Israelis drove 400 trucks into Gaza today. Each one of those is a ton. So that's 400 tons. I did the math. The airdrops have been uncoordinated because there's no one to coordinate because Hamas doesn't get a bribe. They steal the food. No, there's no one to stop them on the ground. So the airdrops have been killing people, even the small ones that the Jordanians do. So they're announcing a time and place later on today, may have already happened, where the largest airdrop done in the aid delivery airdrop idea is going to happen. They're literally going to kill a couple dozen people that are still running around today. They're going to be caught underneath the drops because there's nobody on the ground. We don't trust Hamas for personal security. There's no responsible party on the ground to say, okay, everyone grab the yellow tape and make a big, giant 5-mile racetrack. Okay, that's your drop zone. At McCord on Fort Lewis, at Fort Irwin in the desert, nowhere does America drop stuff without somebody on the ground to coordinate and keep other people out of the way of the stuff. You learn that lesson once 80 years ago, okay? So there's that. And there's no one on the ground to say, you're going to want to move aside because it's going to land and it's going to be a ton. The parachute doesn't gently put it on the sand. But so anyway, with this knowledge, they're going to do it anyway, even though the Israelis are now bringing in trucks from the northern gate. The Egyptians still not allowing aid into from their border. So there's people today that are going to die later on today when a giant pallet of 1 ton of black bean burritos called humanitarian daily rations land gently on top of them. Because a ton is still a ton. I know it came from the sky, from the great iron bird in the sky pooping out aid. But it's still a ton when it hits the ground, so there's that. And that's not funny. I didn't laugh. I'm just telling you that. All right, well, so we'll... can someone not... can someone vote for Biden and still like Israel? That answer, sometimes you just hand the Democrats their talking points, and Trump did it. Is he more popular than Lincoln? Some say he is. And a little more on that kid from Coeur d'Alene who pledged his allegiance to ISIS or whatever. And what about the assistant? Okay, the Crumblies are down for 15 years. What about that assistant principal that knew the six-year-old had a gun and got a teacher shot? Is she going to be charged, or what's that deal? We'll get to that in just a second. When we come back for the award-winning 8 a.m. hour on the Brian Suit Show on AM 770 KTTH.